So turn with me to Deuteronomy chapter 31 and verses 1 through to, read verses 1 through to 6. Deuteronomy chapter 31, we will read verses 1 through to 8. This is from the mouth of the living God. Verse 1, Deuteronomy 31. Then Moses went and spoke these words to all Israel. And he said to them, I am 120 years old today. I can no longer go out and come in. Also, Jehovah said to me, you shall not cross over this Jordan. Jehovah your God himself crosses over before you. He will destroy these nations from before you, and you shall dispossess them. Joshua himself crosses over before you, just as Jehovah has said. And Jehovah will do to them as he did to Sihon and Og, the kings of the Amorites and their land, when he destroyed them. Jehovah will give them over to you that you may do to them according to every commandment which I have commanded you. Be strong and of good courage. Do not fear nor be afraid of them. For Jehovah your God, he is the one who goes before you. He will not leave you nor forsake you. Then Moses called Joshua and said to him, in the sight of all Israel, be strong and of good courage, for you must go with this people to the land which Jehovah has sworn to their fathers to give them. And you shall cause them to inherit it. Jehovah has sworn to their fathers to give them, and you shall cause them to inherit it. And Jehovah, he's the one who goes before you. He will be with you. He will not leave you nor forsake you. Do not fear nor be dismayed. Let me just reread verse 6 again. Be strong and of good courage. Do not fear, nor be afraid of them, for Jehovah your God, he is the one who goes with you. He will not leave you nor forsake you. Virtually an exact repetition in verse 8. It's slight and very significant, even though slight change. But the first thing that is obvious, if we know a little bit of the background, of course we cannot always recall what we know. That happens to the very best of us. But it's quite obvious what Moses is doing is that he is stating the truth of what's going to take place for the children of Israel in the midst of some very somber and difficult circumstances. The Bible is the word of truth and it speaks the truth when it comes to our condition, when it prophesies about what's going to take place. And here, among his very last words, Moses speaks to them the truth of the situation in the first place that the children of Israel are going to face. In fact, what he himself is going to face. Now, the very first aspect of this somber news and sad news, and in many ways quite fearful news, as we have it in verse 1, is that Moses is no longer going to be with them. Not for long. See, at the very end of verse 1, Jehovah has said to me, you shall not cross over this Jordan. So, here we can understand something of what these words would have meant to the children of Israel. There's going to be a real sea change, a real shift in their experience. Moses has been with them for over 40 years. You know, many of the original people who were delivered from Egypt have died, but some of those would have been young people when the deliverance in Egypt took place through the hand of Moses. They've known no one else in the leadership. There is going to be ever again such a great prophet and such a servant of God through whom God would do such mighty miracles until the great prophet himself, the Lord Jesus, will come many centuries later. And this is going to be a very sad and challenging time. Things are going to change. And he declares that in the very first verse. And then, of course, many, as I have already intimated, of the children of Israel who originally left Israel are no longer with them. And we're told that quite a fearful future lay ahead of them because of the dangers that they faced and because of the enemies who were established. They were not going to give up the land of Canaan very easily. And there were fierce and established warriors who will protect the land, and the children of Israel are going to face them without Moses or their immediate fathers. And then, of course, there is an admission here by Moses, which is really a confession of his own sin and the consequences of it. He says it in verse 2, I'm sorry, I said verse 1, it was verse 2, where he says, Jehovah has told me, you shall not cross over the Jordan. And we know the background of this, because the people incited him, and he went beyond what Jehovah had asked him, and he did not honor Jehovah in front of the people as he should have because of his anger. And so the consequence of that was Moses, after all these years, you could say virtually 120 years of expectation that he would be the deliverer, could not cross over to the promised land. That would have troubled the children of Israel as to what awaited them because their fathers disobeyed. They even incited Moses to sin. That's not to excuse Moses' own sin, and he's going to pay for it. And all of them have died except two, or will die by the time of the crossing. You see, these details, in some measure, not an exact replica, but in some measure apply to each and every generation. There's always a changing of the guard from generation to generation. There's always a time in the life of a believer when the fathers and the mothers in Israel are about to pass on. And if we know anything from the scriptures, then we understand some of the spiritual implications of what it means for those who have been stalwarts, who have been spiritual examples to us, are going to pass on. That's a troubling time. I know people who have simply the mechanics of function in mind and who think they're very capable, which we all do from time to time, foolishly. But we might tend to think that these things don't matter, but if we have any spiritual insight, then these are troubling things. The passing on of a father or a mother in the faith, or the moving on of a father or a mother in the faith, who's been a spiritual example and encouragement to us, is a matter of great loss. And so Moses speaks the truth about what is going to happen to them. But then Moses encourages them also with a truth that must be placed face to face with these difficult things that he has mentioned. And the centrality of the truth that he's emphasizing in the face of what's going to happen is in verse 6 and in verse 8, and it's really throughout the rhythm or woven into the very fabric of this portion, verses 1 through to 6 or 8. And the stress here is that Jehovah is going to be with them. So the stress here is not on Moses or on Joshua, who is going to be the next leader, or Aaron, or any of the other men, or there might be spiritual women, I'm sure there were. They're not mentioned. That doesn't mean there weren't. There's Caleb, and so on. But the stress is not on them. Let me read these verses again, and let's see if we can pick that emphasis as it is repeatedly emphasized by God the Holy Spirit. In verse 6, we're told, be strong and of good courage, do not fear, nor be afraid of them, for Jehovah your God, he is the one who goes with you. Now it's very understandable that the people of Israel looked to Moses, because it was through his instrumentality that they were delivered from Egypt, that they were able to cross the Red Sea, that they were able to be sustained in the wilderness. He was the one who interposed for them when Jehovah wanted to destroy them because of their disobedience. He was the instrument, but he is not the strength or the source or the power. It is Jehovah, you see, who used Moses, his servant, first of all, prepared him, empowered him, strengthened him, and used him. And he says, it is Jehovah who goes with you. Look at verse 8 again. And Jehovah, he's the one who goes before you. In verse 6, remember when we read it, I said there's a slight change. In verse 6, it is, he goes with you. In verse 8, he goes before you. He has all things in hand. One of the names of Jehovah, as we have it in Jeremiah, is Jehovah Shammah, Jehovah who is there. Jehovah who goes before you. We have this, of course, we have considered in Exodus how he goes before them to scout the land. He's the one who goes with you. He's the one who goes before you. And therefore, do not fear nor be dismayed. Our dependence must not be in our ability or the ability of our leaders, but in God, who goes with us and who goes before us and who will lead us. He goes on to repeat these truths later on in the chapter, but we mustn't stay with that. We must do the same in the times of difficulty and stress. We must not ignore, we must not have blindfolds so that we don't understand the times. To have mature and godly and spiritual men and women pass on or become unable to function in the public life of the church is a great loss, and it's a time of danger. But having said that, our strength and the source of power is not resident in them. It is Jehovah himself who is with us, who promises us, and that he will cross over with us. We don't know what this next year, if we see it, will bring. We certainly didn't know what was going to happen last year. But the Lord goes with us. He not only goes with us, he not only goes before us, but he's the one who is in control of all the situations. You know, we all grumble about some aspects, even though we don't know all the facts. We should be careful before we grumble what our leaders do, except when they impinge or make assessments on the spiritual necessities of the people of God. But the Lord is the one who ultimately brings calamities, allows it. And he promises us that he will go before us, that he will go with us. I don't know about you when you were young. There's one very young person with us, and second, not so old. But when I was young, in my teenage years, been a believer for many years by then, used to be quite nervous and fearful. Because you think of the future. And you wonder how you will accomplish what the Lord desires you to accomplish, and how you'll find your place in the world. You see, if I'd understood, even though I'd read the scriptures and knew many of these portions of scripture, and listened closely to the Spirit of God through the words of Moses, as the Lord Jesus reminds us, let them listen to Moses and the prophets, and of course, the rest of the scriptures in the New Testament. And you should, there shouldn't have been any need for anxiety or worry. Because Jehovah goes with us. And most of us who are older can testify that the Lord has been faithful. He's gone before us in sad times, in dangerous times, when we thought we would perhaps lose everything. The Lord is faithful. And so let us with gladsome mind at the end of the year look back and repeat his faithfulness and his almighty power, that all things are under his control. I bring prosperity and I bring calamity, says Jehovah. And so let us trust him. And we must also be careful to continue in obedience. Remember our weaknesses, the point of weaknesses that we possess. Remember our failures of sin, not so that we might neurotically and unbelievingly think that the Lord does not forgive, but so that we might humble ourselves and be careful in our walk. See, this is what Moses does in verse 2. And then later on at the end, Jehovah said to me, you shall not cross over. Why? Because of his sin. Numbers 20 and verse 12 says this, then Jehovah spoke to Moses and Aaron, because you did not believe me to hallow me in the eyes of the children of Israel, therefore you shall not bring this assembly into the land which I have given them. And these are meant to humble us and also to be an example to others, the next generations. Psalm 106 and verse 32, speaking about the children of Israel, they angered him also at the waters of strife, so that it went ill with Moses on account of them. Matthew 28 and verse 20, teaching them to observe all things I have commanded you, and lo, I am with you always. We need to be very careful about correlative obedience if we are going to be sure about Jehovah being with us. We must not be careless in our walk. Well, the Lord has appointed our Lord Jesus, his only begotten Son, to go before us and to go with us. And he has appointed God the Holy Spirit to dwell in us. And so as we look toward the year ahead, then let's hear God's word as he says, be courageous and do not fear. He'll go with us, he'll go before us. Be courageous, be humble. Be aware of our failures and our weaknesses. And let us pray as the Lord Jesus said, teaching them to observe all things. And we pray for a lot of things. I do. But our prayer should be that the Lord would give us obedience. A life that is a pleasing sacrifice to him, that we might prosper in spiritual things, that his name will be hallowed in our life and in the life of our church. The hymn we are going to sing is a very familiar one, and we've sung it often throughout the years. Hymn number 574 is based on this very truth. Fear not, I am with thee. Oh, be not dismayed, for I am thy God and will still give thee aid. I will strengthen thee, help thee, and cause thee to stand, upheld by my righteous, omnipotent hand. So, people of God, Jehovah is with us and he goes before us, and he is in us by his Spirit. So, let's trust him. Be courageous. Let us humble ourselves and seek to obey him and to please him. And we will surely possess all the inheritance that God has for us in Christ Jesus. How does the Apostle Paul put it in Ephesians 1:3? That we are blessed with every spiritual blessing in heavenly places, in Christ Jesus. So let us continue to seek him and to please him in obedience. But we're going to sing or follow the singing of hymn number 574, and then I'll ask Andy to open in prayer for us. And please pray around briefly, or as you, at least briefly, if you're able, and then we'll close. Hymn number 574. Let's remember to thank God and praise him and seek his face to help us walk worthy before him. Hymn number 574.